Okay, I guess we'll get started. I'm Ben Goodrich, and I'm ostensibly chairing this session on Bayesian methods. Our first presenter is supposed to be Pablo, but he had some visa issues that prevented him from arriving yesterday. I think he's going to arrive this afternoon. So I'm going to try to read his slides. If you ask any questions, that's fine, but I probably am not going to know the answer, but we'll do the best we can with it. And if you have questions, I'm sure you can find Pablo himself later and go ahead and ask your questions. So his presentation is about BAMDIT, an R package for Bayesian meta-analysis of diagnostic test data. And so BAMDIT, that's what it stands for. This is trying to make a R package where you could do a somewhat complex Bayesian meta-analysis and wrap it all up into a R package that the user could call and take all the advantage of the MCMC machinery without having to know a lot or really anything about the underlying bug's language or the bug's algorithm that's being used. So the underlying engine of this is JAGS, and we're going to hear more about that from Martin Plummer in a few sessions, if for some reason you haven't already heard about that. Pablo's been working on this for a long time, apparently, since 2011, but has a major update for this summer that has some nice graphs and makes it easier for the user. So the data at issue here can be classified in a table. You have the true positives, the true negatives, the false positives, and the false negatives across a variety of studies of the same thing. And the studies are indexed by I. And we want to estimate the true positive rate and the true negative rate and the false negative rate, false positive rate, etc. from the data, and since it's a meta-analysis, we want to specify some hierarchical model that enables us to say, you know, something about the effectiveness of a particular treatment or drug or something like that, abstracting over the particularities of any individual study. So the example comes from one of Pablo's papers. It's about computer tomography scans for appendicitis. So, you know, when you go through the airport on the way back home, you can ask the TSA guy if it looks as if you have appendicitis. You know, they've got a variety of different patient populations, individual characteristics of the studies, etc. I think the BAMDIT package comes with some data called CT that is illustrative of a study like this. And he has this plot data function that you can use ggplot in order to get a representation of the data. So the pink circles represent retrospective studies, the green circles prospective studies. The size of the circle is proportional to the number of patients in the study. And you can configure all of them in a plane according to the true positive rate and the false positive rate, so the sensitivity and the complement of the specificity. And then the question is, okay, if this is sort of the raw data, how do we apply a model to this to get some more sensible way to conclude whether the effectiveness of this computer tomography in diagnosing appendicitis is working? So the model is basically a combination of two binomial models for the true positive rate and the false positive rate. We want to estimate the underlying probabilities of those and model with the binomial distributions, the counts. And then there's a second level to the model. This may be a little bit easier to see when we get to his DAG. But we have these D and S variables, index one for each study, which are deterministically related to the true positive rate and the false positive rate according to these link functions. So in this case where you have rate variables, those are going to be on 0, 1, and the link function you might want to use is the logistic or something like that. So what are DNS? D represents the discriminatory power of a study, and S represents an adjustment for external validity to make conclusions beyond the particular study. And so given D and S and the choice of the link function G, that pins down the true positive rate and the false positive rate for each study. And then the question is, what's the prior distribution on D and S? So these are being modeled as a scale mixture of bivariate normals, conditional on a mixing variable W. So W doesn't actually enter the conditional expectation. We're just going to estimate that mu for D and a mu for S. But the W variable, the mixing variable, does enter for the variance covariance matrix of this bivariate normal. So 1 over W, and then you have the usual thing with a standard deviation for D, a standard deviation for S, and a row parameter indicating how they're correlated. And then we just need to put some prior density function that's supported on positive numbers for W. And this, for reasons that I wasn't able to exactly figure out from the slide, pertains to the internal validity of the study. There's more on that later, so hopefully we can figure it out together. So. In the case where all it gets concentrated on one, you just have a plain bivariate normal. You know, for another case, depending on a hyperparameter nu, you can get a bivariate T distribution. It chooses these priors. There's, you know, some uniforms between 0 and 10. Other priors, I don't know. Priors are subjective, and I'm presenting someone else's study. So anyway, here was the DAG, which hopefully makes things more clear. At the level in which you hit the data, you have these observed true positive and false positives. Those are related to the underlying true positive rate and false positive rate that we're trying to estimate. Those are deterministic given DNS, which maps into each of them. And then at the next level up, we have the parameters that go into that bivariate normal prior for DNS. So that's where the rho and the sigmas and the mu and the nu, which goes into the mixing distribution for W, comes in. And then, you know, having been able to estimate all that, we can then get the posterior predictive distribution for a new study, or the posterior predictive distribution for an existing study by just, you know, doing the usual Bayesian thing on that and applying it to, you know, a draw from the distribution of studies, basically to anticipate, you know, how this would work if you're designing your new study. So there's a single function called MetaDiag in the BAMDIT package that actually, you know, performs all of this. And so this is the high level wrapper function that users can use. It's going to be calling JAGS either with the R2 JAGS package or the R JAGS package. There are a bunch of arguments to the MetaDiag function, most of which already referred to or are just passed down to JAGS, you know, for the number of chains, number of burn-in, etc. So that ought to be reasonably straightforward. In this case, you get out object whose posterior distribution can be summarized like this, especially for these higher level parameters that what you're interested in for a predictive study. So he's already had some undetermined nodes or whatever they're called in JAGS that it's basically just drawing from the posterior predictive distribution. We see, you know, a pretty substantial negative correlation between the D and the S parameters, and that degrees of freedom parameter that went into the mixture distribution seems to have a mean of about 9, but it has a whole lot of uncertainty with it, so you're probably going to need a lot of studies to estimate that precisely, but at least the uncertainty in that mixing parameter is being propagated around to the rest of the estimates. And then rather than just looking at a bunch of numbers, there's a plot function for another ggplot thing where you basically, it's similar to what we had before, the sample size is proportional to the size of the circles, but now this is not just based on the data, this is sort of the model implied true positive rate and the false positive rate on the horizontal axis there. So we want to be up in the top left, and that's where a lot of the mass is being concentrated. We got contour lines. I'm not sure what the light green points in the middle are, so that might be a good question to ask Pablo later on. How am I doing on time? I actually ran out myself. 4 minutes. Okay. So the summary, the variety of way of summarizing these measures. What's of particular interest in a meta analysis study are these top level parameters to it. So the expectation of the discrimination parameter, given S, which was the adjustment for external validity, can be written as just a linear function of X with parameter or coefficients A or intercept A and coefficient B, where this is just based on bivariate normal properties. And given that, you can calculate what this ROC sort of curves in the Bayesian sense, and the area underneath them just involves numerically, I guess, integrating this BSROC function, which is the inverse link applied to a function of the A and the B. In any event, you get that function and you integrate it you know, from some lower bound to some upper bound, and you can calculate the area under the curve to say, you know, basically overall, how well is this diagnostic doing? The more area under the curve, the better. So we have this BSROC that outputs the area under the curve, and you know, that's also probably better presented with a graph. So we have kind of the same thing that we had before over on the left. And now we have this other distribution, the posterior implied, here represented with a histogram with binning and whatnot, capturing the area under the curve for this particular one, which seems to be pretty concentrated, a little bit less than 0.6, which me, not being in any sort of medical field, sounds pretty good. I don't know. It's not great. Ah, well, I was so excited when I was practicing these slides this morning. Oh, well. Okay, so back to the W thing. So the prior mean on the W's is 1. And insofar as the posterior distribution concentrates W greater than 1, that can be interpreted as a measure of the conflict of the evidence in that particular study due to noise or measurement problems and whatnot. And those studies that have a lot of internal conflict in them, suggesting a lack of internal validity, are going to be, you know, downweighted in the posterior, you know, predictive distributions and whatnot. So this is a more robust inferential method, but you can actually use this plot W function to get a sense of what are the studies that seem to be, you know, better and worse. for the most part, it seems like most of these studies here, you know, their posterior means were slightly above one, which I'm sure is pretty good relative to, you know, some of these other ones, like the fourth one down and, you know, one of the ones at the bottom and so forth, that are all kind of shifted well greater than one, indicating that probably something went wrong with those studies. Okay, so out of time, Pablo had this. May have been funnier in Spanish. anyway, muchas gracias. All right.